podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. It is so easy to set up and break down. I think that's what makes it so handy to use and why I'm basically using it every day at practice. Mention Coach Unplugged and they'll give you $400. You said that right, $400 off your next purchase. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It is run by a basketball coach for basketball coaches at any level. You're not going to find anything out there, and it's got a 14-day free trial. We believe in it so much. We want you to join. We want you to come and kick the tires around. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But I can tell you people love it. I can tell you that people do not want to leave. Go over and check it out. And it's got everything from clinics to videos to me talking to lessons to courses to handouts to practice planning to parenting to whatever you need as a basketball coach. It's got it in there. Also, go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, Funnel Down Defense, and leave a 5-star review. We'd love those. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
You can take as long as you want to sprint back and forth, but you have to go every 2 minutes is when you start your next sprint.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
So if you take a minute 5 to do it, you get 55 seconds rest. If you want to half-ass it and jog it, then you get no time to rest.
You can run for 10 minutes.
Basically. Yeah, then you're just jogging for 10 minutes. Good. Have fun.
What do they do?
Most of them run it hard, and then what we'll do is we'll put a time on it. If kids are dogging it, then we'll say everyone in this group has to get it in under a minute 20, otherwise it doesn't count.
Okay, okay.
So that right when sense. You see the kids dogging it, then you put a
– then you put a restriction on it.
Then okay. You put a restriction on it.
Okay. So you're not even through your 45 minutes. The last one is your 45 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, 517 is the last thing.
Okay. That's your last thing. So they are you've gone for 45 minutes. They're done. Like they're gassed.
Yes.
Okay. No, I love that. So you're like the Marine sergeant. You beat them down bad.
Yeah.
And now you're going to see how good they are.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Right, and now we're going to get into the meat of the practice, whatever it is we're trying to accomplish.
Right, okay.
Today's emphasis, as you can see, is going to be defense. Defense, defense, defense.
What do you play defensively?
We started in half-court man, and then we adjust from there.
Okay.
We wound up going to a lot of zone this year. I'd like to be – the times I've had really good teams, it is completely changing defenses. Every time there's a huddle, we change a defense. Stop each other. Like, timeout.
High school kids don't adjust to change. You could change on – if you get to the point where you even change on every other – on a make and a miss, if you change on, you know, every dead ball, you change – they'll freak out. They won't know. I mean, I've had – 3 teams where I've actually been able to change on the side of where the ball is entered.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Cause no one knows what's going on. Like they think you're like a magician at that point. But even make misses, it takes them a while to figure it out.
Yes.
Cause then you can change what the make and the miss are.
We had a team making missing us this year. They were man on the make, 2-3 zone on the miss. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. The other way around, man on the miss, 2-3 zone on the make.
And yeah,
it took us a quarter and a half to figure out
what the hell you're doing. Yeah, and then they changed it up. Yeah, I love that.
So here this is early in the season for us. We get started a little later than you guys. So this was practice number 5 for us.
Oh God, you do. We usually are part of the late. So you guys didn't get through your tournament then?
No, we have tryouts the 3 days before Thanksgiving. Then we're off for the Thanksgiving weekend. And then that Monday is our first official practice.
And then when does your season end?
We end – the playoffs are usually the first week in March.
Okay, so how far did the tournament get before they called it?
They didn't play the state championships. We had a north winner and a south winner, but they didn't get to play for the state titles.
They didn't get to play. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's close. It was like us. So I think it was Elite Eight for us that we got.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that stinks for those teams that were there.
I can't imagine. I mean, it's going to stink more for the next year. I'm convinced we're not going to have a season, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
But, really?
Football ain't happening. Fall sports.
I was talking to my buddy today who I teach with, and he coaches at another school. We're actually in the same conference. Neither one of us teach at the school where we coach.
Okay.
And I said to him, I said, Brian, I said, if they shut down school for the year, which they haven't officially done yet, but it's coming, I go, we're not going to be allowed to do anything in the summer. No camps, no workouts, no summer league.
Ours have been called. Yeah, ours are called already.
He goes, you think so? I go, they're going to shut down school, but let the football have 7-on-7? No way.
No, and I don't think football – but here's the issue, and this is a stats teacher in me. So if someone's listening to this 3 years from now, but we'll see if I was right. I'm in a school of 2,000. You can't put 2,000 teenagers together in social distance. You can't put 20 of them. You can't put 20 of them together in social distance. So what they're going to do is, I think they're going to try to slow. They're going to stagger schedules and try things, and then it's going to blow up, and they're going to shut down for 3 weeks, and then they're going to try again, and then they're going to shut down again. They're going to get better at testing. They're going to get better at the stats of, like, you saw all these people. You guys are off for 3 weeks, kind of
thing. Right.
That's why I don't know if we'll have a season like we've had.
Wow, that's interesting. Year.
I mean, I just, unless someone comes up with a vaccine,
right,
takes usually a year to 4 years. I know it's going to be a while. I think. All right. So then you do five. You do your 17 twos. You do those three times.
Well, this is early in the season.
Okay, your conditioning. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
By mid-season, we only have this one in.
The mid one. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
But this is the one where they go home, and I see the parents the next day and go, oh, Timmy came home, and he just went right to sleep.
Good.
Yes. Are you going to pay me extra for that? That you didn't have to deal with your teenager?
I know. That's a good thing. All right. What? So anything else on those?
On what?
On those. On the other two. On the box outs or the closeouts?
No, not really. I mean, these are pretty standard drills. You know, defensive stance. We do just a full court one where I'm at the head.
And the box out. So explain the box out drill. That's one that intrigues me, because I'm always looking for drills that are good for rebounding and stuff.
We're going to start with box outs on the floor where, you know, the circle's here. We're going to have circle here. So we'll have groups. There'll be an X and an O and an X and an O.
Yep.
And we'll put the ball in the middle.
I love that drill.
And it's got to be 4 seconds. They hold the guy off.
It's a great drill.
Yeah.
And then what I do, what you really have to do is teach him to go get the damn ball.
Like, yes.
I mean, there's nothing box. I mean, we got five guys boxing out and the ball bounces. It's like, great, go get it.
As we move in the season, we'll do just a, you know, just have five guys around kind of anywhere, right?
Right.
And then, that's six. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll throw it up, and they have to, the defense gets a point if it bounces.
I like that.
Okay, and then they've got to get 5 points to get off.
Ooh,
so it's
like
really
that.
Holding the box out and waiting for the one bounce.
Ooh, I like that a lot. Because it forces – I mean, and the problem is there's one weak link in that chain, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stand out. It's going to stand out quickly. And the rest of them are going to – it's going to be like Lord of the Flies, man. They're going to come after that kid.
Yes. And then we do this one a bunch too. I should have put these in numbers. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 offensive players and 2 defensive guys, right? In here.
Okay.
And I'm going to shoot. And when I shoot, I'm going to yell out 2 numbers. And those are the guys that are going to the glass. So I might yell out 2 and 3. So 2 and 3 are going to the glass. I like they have that. To box these two guys out. Now you always get the one kid that goes, you get the guys on that side, and I'll get the guys on this side. Right. Well, hey, dummy, what happens when I call 3 and 4?
Right.
Then this guy stands here and goes,
huh? Yeah, I love that. I love that.
So that's called numbered rebounding. We'll do that too.
Numbered rebounding. Okay. And then did you have one from later in the season? I'd love to compare. Yeah.
So let's see what I have, the one later in the season. again, I'm big with the quotes.
Yep.
So this actually was a quote. Peter Guber was a movie producer, and he bought into the Golden State Warriors in like 2012. He was one of the shareholders. And the year they won their first championship, I heard an interview with him on the radio like 2 days later. And this is a guy who started as a production assistant intern and worked his way up to the head of like Paramount Pictures and, you know, it's a billionaire. Right. And he said this. They said, well, when you first bought in, you know, the team wasn't good. You had just drafted Steph Curry, blah, blah, blah. And he said this, failure is an inevitable partner on the path to success. So at this point in the season, I will tell you, we were 0-4 and not close to winning a game yet. So, you know, this is when we really talked about
it. So did you feel like you lost them this year?
No. And I talked to them about that at the end of the season.
That's really good then.
We had one game. We had one game this year where I felt like we gave up.
That's not bad. With that record, one game is not bad.
And listen, that record, and I think the average score of the games was 65-37 was our
– okay.
Was the average score.
Okay.
So yeah, only have one game where I felt like we completely
– Well, that's why I asked the question. Is it, 'cause if you'd have come back and said, oh, I thought I lost them, then there's other issues. But if you never thought you lost them, that's half the battle.
No. Like,
to make sure they're in the boat, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I said to them. I said, you know, you guys showed – there are a lot of lesser kids that would have stopped coming to practice, that just would have bagged it.
Right. Oops. Was that me? That was you, I think.
Back?
Yeah.
What happened?
I don't know. Maybe everybody in New Jersey's on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Is the draft still on? What time is it? 9:30? Could be.
No.
That was weird.
Sorry about that.
No, no worries. But
yeah, we had two kids that kind of – one kid was sort of injured, one kid was – and they left the program.
Okay.
And I said, you guys didn't.
Right.
And to be honest with you, but
from someone that built a program, that's the way to do it. Like, if you don't want to be part – we're going to do this. Whether you want to be a part of the building of this or not, it's fine. That's cool.
Well, I'll tell you this quick story and see what you think as a veteran coach, because I went through this issue this year. So we didn't have a freshman team. Everyone was in one gym. Okay. I had a freshman, pretty big kid, decently talented, was the biggest kid in my gym. Decently talented, would have gotten some minutes on the varsity this year, would have played a ton of JV minutes. He comes out for the team. We have the tryouts. We're going through practice. And about 3 days before the first game, he comes to me and he goes, hey, coach, listen. He goes, on Wednesdays, I'm not going to be able to come to practice because I play on a travel soccer team.
He's your tallest kid?
Yeah.
Is he a goalie? The hell?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he is a goalie.
Okay.
But he goes, I'm not going to be able to come to practice every Wednesday.
Because
I play on this travel soccer team. And I said, no. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you need to go home and talk to your parents and tell them that if you're on the basketball team on Wednesdays, you have to be at basketball practice.
Right. It's basketball season.
So he came in. He said, well, I talked to my parents and, you know, I don't know. I said, listen, Nick. I said, you're also going to have tournaments, aren't you? And he goes, well, yeah, I think we have like one a month or maybe two a month. I go, well, so then Saturdays and Sundays, if we have practice or a game, you're not going to be at that? Oh, well, I didn't think about that. I said, well, you need to. And I said, listen, it's up to you. The decision's up to you. I'm not going to force you to make a decision. Do you want to be part of the basketball program or do you want to be part of the travel soccer team that your parents pay for? I get it. So he said, I think I'm going to do soccer. 2 days later, his mom called me and ripped me, called me an a-hole, said, the one I didn't like was she said, you didn't give my son a choice. I said, no, absolutely. I gave him a choice. Yeah.
So here's
because you don't like the choices doesn't mean you weren't given a choice.
So here's the comeback for this. You did exactly what I would do. So you are a coach of a talented and gifted team for basketball players. Okay. And your choices, I spell this out at the beginning of the year. If you miss a practice, you sit. Like, I'm sorry your gerbil died, but the other kids were here and you weren't. I'm sorry you're sick. But the other kids were here and you weren't. Now, so if you're a starter, I don't start you. If you're not a starter, I don't put you in right away. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to sit you the whole game at that point. But if it's unexcused, that's unexcused. That means you ought – any unexcused absence for me, you sit a game. So every time you miss a Wednesday, you'd sit the next game. It's like you're really not going to be an integral part. So, I mean, I'm not sure a kid like that is going to be around in 3 years anyway. That's my theory. It's like, I want basketball players. Like, I want multiple sport athletes that play their sports in the season and make the rest of the stuff work.
Well, so that's what I said to him. I go, next fall during soccer season, if we have weightlifting, are you going to miss soccer practice to lift weights?
No.
And the mom said to me, well, it's not the same thing. I go, it's the exact same thing.
It's the exact same thing. You're making choices. So live with your choice.
That's what I said to the kid, and that's what I said to the mom. I said, we all make choices in life. Listen, I'm fat because I eat Doritos, okay? Right. That's why. Right. I make the choice to eat Doritos. I love them. Terrific.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what I don't get. It's like, yeah. So that's your choice as a parent to sign him up. That's your choice to decide that that's more important than – I'm not telling you you have to do that. But, like, No, I think taking over a program too. You got to draw that in the sand too. That's line in the sand, man. Because if that kid all of a sudden does that, everybody from ever is going to know. Well, this kid got to do it.
Well, so we're not going to talk for 2:38, but I love telling stories. So I actually cut a kid, a senior, and then we had a hole to do, and he got put back on the team. And I fell on the sword for that one when this whole thing went down. I said, listen, just put the kid back on the team. We don't need to.
Right.
So that was the first week of practice. This happened like the third week of practice. And when it happened, and then we, the kid decided I'm going to play soccer. The AD came in the next morning to practice and he said, hey, what's the deal with, you know, the kid? And I said, you know, he said, like, the mom called me. I said, yeah. And I told them. And he's like, he had my back, but you know, he's playing the AD side.
Right.
Like,
listen, I get it. Yeah.
But I said to him, I said, listen, I got to have some control over the program. You know, I got to have some say in it. Some, a little.
Right. 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 And what did he say to that? Like,
he was on board with it.
I think you got to spell it out and hand it out to the parents and the kids at the beginning of the year and say, sign this.
I didn't get the job till September, and there was a lot of –
So that's what I think in the offseason you got to think about, because I have like an expectations team and program expectations. Some people give kids passes. I don't even give them passes. Like, some coaches will say you get 3 missed practices passes. They can't be a day before a game. Are you kidding me? There's no way you're missing a practice. But
so at this other school that I worked, we had a very good program. Me and the head coach ran the AAU in the spring, and we had these kids from sixth grade on. It's a small group one school here, single A school, but very successful in the state. And we had a kid who was a great kid, really good player. And his eighth grade year, his mother and father came to me and the head coach and said, listen, next winter break, when he's in ninth grade, when Jackson, a freshman, he said, we are going to Ireland to see my wife's grandmother for the last time. She's dying. You know, she lives in Ireland. But they said, we're coming to you now. We said, absolutely. We said, but Jack's going to miss 2 games in that time.
Right.
So he's going to be suspended for the next 2 games when he comes back. And the parents could, they were like, absolutely, I get it. We just wanted to let you know beforehand.
Right.
So Jack missed four games that year. The two that he was away, and then he was suspended for
Here's your action. Here's your consequence. As a parent, I would be like, I just letting you know, I totally get it. We wouldn't do this, but grandma's dying, and we need to see grandma.
Right. And but that's why they were totally fine with it, because they understood the expectation. And
And that will come with time as you're around longer, Coach. That
Yeah. But like I said, I had to establish.
You have to draw that line in the sand. Let's go back to that practice. So I'm just looking. So everything till six is this. Yeah. Everything 6:30. Till six is the same thing.
Yep. Okay. Same thing. You know, a little bit, two times each. We know what the drill is now.
Okay.
Then we go to a thing called perfect possession. And this is a defensive drill. Let me see if I can explain this. Buddy of mine is the strength and conditioning coach at Xavier.
Okay.
And he always sends me drills, sends me things. When we talk, he gives me some things to do. So this is – we're working on defense. So you put your five out there on defense. You put 45 seconds on the clock. Okay? Offense gets the ball. They start. You hit the clock. The clock's counting down. You just play one possession. If the offense scores, if the offense gets an offensive rebound, or if it goes out of bounds off the defense, so the offense retains possession, any one of those three things happen, the whistle blows, the possession's over, the clock goes back to 45 seconds.
Ah.
If the defense gets a stop and a defensive rebound, obviously, or a steal, or the ball goes out of bounds on the offense, so the defense retains possession, the clock stops where it is. Say it stops at 32 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, that possession was 13 seconds long. It stops at 32 seconds. The offense gets another possession. Defense gets a stop at 20 seconds. The clock stops at 20 seconds. Offense gets another possession. If at 8 seconds the offense gets an offensive rebound, possession stops. Clock goes back to 45 seconds.
I love that drill.
So you got to get to zero to get off.
That's brutal. That's like war.
Yeah.
That's like fisticuffs in our practice. That would be like, yeah. Oh, I love that drill. I love that drill. Okay. Yeah. That's like Game of Thrones, man. You better
get into that. Right? But, yeah. But again, that's building that toughness.
It is. Yes. I love that.
You know, and it's what Xavier does it for is they have a thing. I forget if it's battles or wars. And my buddy who's a strength coach actually keeps track of it on the bench. If they get three stops in a row, that's a battle. They won a battle. And they figured out they have to win 11 battles in a game to win a game on the college level.
I've never heard it. So we chart that. Like I'll change. If someone scores on me three times or does something, then I'll change. But I love – he's saying if they stop someone three times, it's three battles. They need 11 battles to win.
Yeah.
I love that. In a college game, I bet it's like three – I bet it's like eight battles. If you win eight battles –
Right. What you can do is go back and watch film of a game and kind of – again, you're a math guy. So
yeah. Like, I love that because it is the game is little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like we play stop, score, stop, or stop, score, stop, score, where it's just like I can't even tell you how many times I come in and the game's close at the end. I go, guys, all you need is a stop, a score, and a stop, and we got this thing.
Yep.
Like, and we've done it in practice. They kind of know what that feels like. But I love that perfect possession. I love that.
So the perfect possession is working on getting three stops in a row. Basically, they're saying in 45 seconds, it should be about three stops for them, again, in a college game.
Okay. Perfect.
So it's working on something that they're directly charting.
So you know, the battles they're talking about is just getting three straight stops.
Three straight stops is a battle.
And they've got to get 11 at the collegiate level. So I'm guessing. I'm gonna figure out what it is for the high school level.
Right. Again, it's going to be adjusted by the number of possessions, sort of the average number.
What do you play in your state, quarters or halves?
Quarters.
And how long are your quarters?
8 minutes.
Yeah, we play 18-minute halves.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Halves yeah, you like it?
Oh, I do. Do you have a shot clock?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No.
I was quoted in an article this year about it. I took a lot of heat. I'm not a shot clock advocate.
I'm not either. Oh my God, I found somebody else. I think it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, oh, I don't think we need a shot clock. Why do we need a shot clock? What's it going to do to the high school game?
That's what I said. This reporter that I know was talking to me, and then when the article came out, a bunch of people, I go, does it markedly improve the game? Just because there are more points doesn't mean it's a better basketball. And three, could you imagine the crappy shots that some high school kids would take if they have to take a shot every 20 seconds?
That's my biggest thing. Like,
they take awful shots.
I've coached guys that have played in the NBA. I've coached like 60 collegiate guys. Most of the time the shot clock comes down, my guys are going to be able to create a decent shot. You get to schools of 123 kids and you're putting – that's what I'm saying. But then they're going to be horrible shots taken. My fourth one, you want a fourth one? Running a shot clock is not easy. And it's not easy. These officials are accountants and teachers and stuff during the day. How do they know if it touched the rim? There's that instant replay in a high school gym on a Tuesday night in January. It's
installing all of it, training people, having quality people do it. Yeah,
it's not going to happen now. The world we're living in now, no one's putting shot clocks up. Are you kidding me? So that's dead. That's dead in the water. Thank God.
Yeah, I am not a shot clock advocate.
I am not either. There's not many of us, but we can have a shot no shot clock party. Okay. Shooting stations.
So, yeah, shooting stations, we're going to do it's just a traditional five-spot shooting on one side.
I'm telling you, I've talked to enough coaches about I don't get enough shots up. That's one of my kryptonites in practice. I have to work on getting more shots up for my guys. I don't.
And one of the things I always say to my assistants is they shoot enough on their own. Like, that's all they do when they're by themselves.
Yeah, but they don't during the season. And it's like putting. When you don't do it, you lose it. That's the problem. From a former shooter, and a shooter lives in this house, when either one of us don't shoot for a while, we notice it. That's why, and it gets lost in practice planning, I think, especially late in the season. And I'm guilty of it. I'm so guilty of it.
Yeah, I am. And my one assistant yells at me all the time.
Yeah, there's part of him that's right about it too. It's like if you don't shoot, you can lose that skill. You're not going to be as effective.
Right. So, right, we're doing five-spot shooting on one side. On the other side, we're doing finishing, you know, where they're driving in. We're hitting them with pads.
Good, yeah. I love that drill. Yep.
You know, and the one thing I do is I have, like, a full-length football pad, and I tell them if I put it straight up over my head, you got a pump fake, and then I'll bring it down and finish through the contact.
Okay.
You know, and some of them will dribble in, jump stop. I'll throw it straight up in the air, and they'll throw it right off the pad.
I know.
Like, did you not see the pad? Like, did you think it was going
to
go through?
They don't. They have their mind made up. That's why they run over three people to get to the basket.
That's the whole thing, right? Jump stop and read what happens.
You get a call when you're under control. The official will give you the benefit of the doubt if you're under control. If you look out of control, they're not going to give you the call.
Never. And then so now we're into the season, we're into games, so we're going to work on specifics of what's coming up. I think this was a Thursday practice. Yeah, Thursday 1-2, and we were at Woodridge on Friday 1-3.
Okay.
So we're going to work now, the last hour, we're going to work on what we're going to see in that game.
Yeah, and that's what I tell coaches too. It's like you got to – let's say having 2-hour practice is probably long for end of the season, but let's say you have a 2-hour, you got to chunk out that 25, 30 minutes to worry about your opponent. And we map it out. Like if we're playing on a Thursday, Monday will be about us. Tuesday will be about us and them. Wednesday will be more about them. You know, you got to kind of decipher it, but I like that. Yeah.
So, right. So for this particular team, our 1 and our 2 defense was a box and 1, the triangle and 2, because they had some good individual players. So we were going to throw a little junk defense at them. They play a 2-3 zone, so we were going to work on our zone offenses.
Okay.
Actually, I want to show you. This was one we sort of invented on the fly. I don't know if anyone's – I'm sure someone's done something like this. But we were just trying to, you know, come up with something so we could get a shot.
I tell people that, that'd be great. Let me see it. Well, I tell coaches too, if you need to work on something, invent something. Like, shoot, I can't tell you the number of drills that I just came up with because we needed to work on X. So I figured a way to work on X. Like,
well, this was an offense where we were just trying to, we called this, our best player was our point guard too.
Okay.
So we called this, I don't know, four over or something, or four across, who the hell knows, whatever, you know, name it Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah.
Yeah. So he would enter the ball to a, yeah, this guy, the ball side elbow would dive to the corner. The opposite elbow would dive to the block.
Okay.
So the wing guy would immediately throw it to the corner. And when he did that, the point guard would flash right into here. And you would be surprised how many times we could throw it to our point guard right here. And now he's either got a shot or a dump down to the.
I love that. We run a lot off of that. We call that kind of our chair set because it looks like a chair.
So
it
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It looks like a chair. And then we'll reverse it with the one will come set a screen for the guy that has the ball. And then he'll go off that screen, go to the corner, and then the big X.
Okay.
So it's kind of a continuity offense, but I love that. Yeah. I think that chair,
yeah,
you know, low block, high block, wing, corner, and then someone opposite. I call it a chair set because it looks like a chair a little bit.
Right. We would tell that opposite wing guy to find the opening on that low wing, high wing. Because once we got it to our point guard here, right, he's
got space. He wants space. He's got
space.
Yeah.
Because what happens is the X is here. The other X is here. The X big is here.
Right. He's not giving a layup up. Yeah.
You're right. This X, this other high X, he's here, but he's not looking at the point guard.
Right.
Most of the time, teams are trying to skip the ball.
Right.
So when he would dive in there, this guy would just be, you know, again, we would run it maybe one time here, one time in the second quarter. You know, it's not something we would run over and over again. I wanted to, on the practice plan, I wanted to, on both of them, and then the end of practice, we do the same thing every day called closeout shooting.
Okay.
Okay? End of every practice all year. I've ended every practice like this for probably 7 years in a row.
Okay.
On every level. I think I got it from, like, I was watching a Michigan State shooting drill or something. I don't know. And then I kind of, like you said, I kind of modified it.
Yeah. Modified for, first of all, the number of baskets you have to modify for your guys. That's right. What I tell people. It's like, you got to, like, read your personnel a little bit.
So each line has a ball. Okay, we're going to go for 4 minutes. All right?
Yep.
And this line's going to shoot a three.
Yep.
He's going to go get his own rebound and pass it to the next guy in this line. This guy's shooting. So they're all shooting at the same time.
Yep.
And so this line is shooting, going, getting a rebound, pass to the next guy in this line. Then he goes and fills in. Then, you know, so they rotate. So this line shoots and passes to this line. Now,
couple things. You can get a lot of shots up doing this.
So we have a goal that they have to make in 4 minutes. The beginning of the season, I tell them 35.
Okay.
That takes a lot. I had a freshman team that was awesome 1 year, years ago at the other school that I coached at. We got 81 in 4 minutes one time as a freshman.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, we love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.